Jude 24 is where we're going to start reading. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here, Lord. God, we do ask that you would bless this class. God, be with us, please, Lord. I pray that you would just take part in everything that we do, that you would be an integral part of all that goes on right now, Lord. We need you, God. We pray that you would show up in a mighty way, speak to each heart, and change our lives, Lord, as a result. God, we know anytime we open the Word of God, Lord, there's an opportunity for you to work and for you to change lives. So please help us to be tuned in and ready to hear from you. I pray you give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, please, God, to get this across how you want me to. I really do need your help. I pray that, God, the guys will hear your voice through the preaching today, Lord. God, I love these guys, but you care about them so much more than I ever could. And Lord, I pray that you would please just speak to them where they need it and where you want them to be, where you want them to go in their lives as a result. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love you more, be more like you as a result. Bless the rest of our day in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you again for standing up. All right, the book of Jude. This guy that wrote the book of Jude, his name is Jude, but guys, he is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. For some of you that were here Wednesday, we preached out of the book of James, same kind of deal. He grew up in the same household as Jesus Christ. So he was the half-brother of Jesus. You say, why is he the half-brother? Well, because they had the same mother, not the same father, right? Because Jesus was not born in a natural way because of the result of the relations of Joseph and Mary. That's not how Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin, okay? And God was his father. So it was a special, spectacular birth that Jesus had. So that's why we call James and Jude and the other ones half-brothers of Jesus. So Jude is that guy, and they didn't believe Jesus. When Jesus was still in his earthly ministry and all that, his earthly brothers did not believe him. They thought he was weird. They thought he was crazy. They thought something was wrong with him. And in one occasion, they're trying to pull him out of a crowd when he was preaching to people saying, this guy's mad. Not talking about angry. They said, this guy's nuts. He's crazy. Let's get him out of here. They thought something was wrong with him. They didn't believe him. They stayed away and kind of kept the distance. But it seems that after Jesus died and then arose from the dead, that's what convinced them. That's what made it click in their lives. And they finally thought, wow, this isn't just a normal guy. This isn't just your average run-of-the-mill person. Something's different about him. He is God. He is the Son of God. And that's when they got saved and got serious. And as far as James and Jude, they wrote portions of the Bible. So here's Jude, right? And he wants to write about a particular thing in verse number 3. We're going to pick it up there. I want you guys to follow along with me if you would. He wants to write about a particular thing. Guys, as he sits down, he gets his pen out, he has a particular direction that he wants to go in. Verse number 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Stop right there. That's what he wanted to write about. He wanted to write about the common salvation. Now, he doesn't mean salvation as in common, like it's not important. He doesn't mean that. What he means is this, that people from all over the world get saved the same way. Listen, guys, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how much money your family has or doesn't have. It doesn't matter if you guys have a lot of nice possessions or you don't have very much at all. We all get saved the same way. We find out we're sinners. We find out we're guilty before a holy God and that we are deserving of hell. And we realize that there's nothing in us that can change that. You can't do enough good to change that. You can't do enough religious activity to change that. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that can save you. And when we realize that, we trust only in Christ to save us. Guys, don't get it mistaken. You didn't trust in the church to save you. You didn't trust in some preacher to save you. You didn't trust in the Woodlawn Way to save you. You trusted Jesus to save you because he's the only one that can. All right? So that's what Jude wants to write. And he says, listen, I wanted to write to people about the common salvation, that Zach got saved the same way I did, the same way that Arion Christian did, the same way that DeMichael did, and everyone that we believe belongs to the Lord, they got saved the same way. Hey, the gospel they preach in the Dominican Republic, same gospel we preach here. Gospel they preach in Australia and Africa and Asia and all across the country and all across the world through our missionaries, it's the same gospel. You don't have to change it because of this culture or change it because of this fad or style or trend, guys. It's the same gospel. Jude says, that's what I wanted to write. But can I tell you God threw a curveball on him? as he wrote, sat down to write this book, and he wanted to write of the common salvation, God gave him a redirected purpose. He's wanting to write about that, guys. In verse number 3, he says, I wanted to write about the common salvation. But notice this, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You know what he's talking about, guys? The truth. The doctrine that we believe. He's saying that Michael is under attack. And as I write, as I sit down at my desk and I start writing, and I want to write in this particular fashion, I want to write about this particular direction, about how we all got saved the same way. Whether you're rich, you get saved the same way. Whether you're poor, you get saved the same way. Whether you're really educated, you get saved the same way. Whether you don't know anything, you get saved the same way. Listen, he says, I wanted to write about that, but as I got there, the Holy Spirit started pounding me, and God redirected my purpose here and said, no, 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 you need to write that people should earnestly contend for the faith. You know what that's talking about, guys? We need to fight for what's right. We need to stand on the truth. Listen, we need to stand on the fact that Jesus is God. We don't want to diminish that. We don't want to lower that. We don't want to downgrade that. We need to stand on the fact that the Bible is perfect, and that it is God's word from cover to cover. And every word of it is exactly what we need for this generation. He's saying we need to hold on to the faith. God delivered it to us, and we want to hold on to every word of it. That's what he's saying. Hey, guys, the faith is under attack nowadays. A lot of examples come to my mind, but I probably don't have time to deal with them. But he had a redirected purpose. Verse number 3. Verse number 4. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude says, as God redirected me here in my writing, I think this is the reason God redirected him and told people to hold on to what's right and to earnestly contend, to agonize, to fight for the truth and to hold on to that. By the way, guys, if we don't fight for what's right, the next generation, what will we pass on to them? Huh? We'll pass on a bunch of mush. We'll pass on something that it has diluted the gospel to where they can trust in it, but it won't save them. We've got to hold on to the truth, guys. And he says, as I'm sitting down to write this, I see that even in churches sometimes people creep in and they're trying to pervert things and trying to twist things. And specifically at the end of verse number 4, guys, learn these things. He says, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, big word, but it just means loose living. That it really doesn't matter. Hey guys, that is happening all around us in different kinds of churches and different styles of Christianity, with the contemporary music and with the more lax style of church and all these kind of things. You know what people say? Because of God's grace, you can live however you want. You can, hey, you're saved, right? So you can go ahead and drink. You're saved, right? So you can listen to whatever garbage you want to. You're saved, right? So it really doesn't matter. You're still going to go to heaven. So you can do whatever you want. If you want to mess around, if you want to lust, if you want to be proud, who cares? They're turning the grace of God into loose living. Guys, can I tell you very clearly, you've heard this a lot, but you need to hear it again and get it locked in your brain. God's grace is never an excuse for you to sin. God's grace is given to you for you to do right. God's grace has been given to you as power and strength to help you do right. When you're in your neighborhood and you feel like you're all alone, you have God's grace to help you do right. When you feel like all your friends are making fun of you because you take a contrary stand to how they live, you have God's grace to help you. I could go on and on and on with that, but I'm not going to. But they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Guys, you be careful. Listen, when you hear a supposed Christian saying, hey, we're all under grace. It really doesn't matter how we live. The Bible says, yes, we are under grace and not law. But it says sin should not have dominion over us. Romans 6, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul screams out, God forbid. No way. God didn't save you so you could sin and get away with it. That's what I'm saying. You understand? We awake today? God didn't save you so you could sin and get away with it. God gave you his grace to keep you away from sin and serve him with it. And then, not only do they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, verse number 4, they deny the only Lord God. You know what they say? Well, yeah, I mean, God is one way to heaven, but there's other ones as well. That's dangerous. There's only one God. His name is Jesus. Listen, and he made one way for us to get to heaven. It's through him. It's through turning from our sins and trusting in him. And they deny that he is the only Lord God. And then they deny our Lord Jesus Christ. They take away his deity. They say that he had sinned or he messed up or in some fashion they try to diminish who he is and what he did. Very dangerous, guys. Very dangerous. That's what the false teachers try to do. But can I tell you, these false teachers have a punishment that's coming their way. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7, then we'll try to hurry up with this. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You say, why is he talking about these things? He gives three examples, and I'll try to just hit these and move on. But he's saying these people are doing wicked stuff. They're trying to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're denying that there's only one God, and they're denying that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God. Very dangerous heresies that they're throwing in there. You know what? He gives examples right past that and says, there were people that came out of Egypt with Moses, but not all of them were saved, guys. I'm cutting to the chase with this. He says, some of those people that didn't believe God, they were destroyed. Okay? Then verse number 6, he says, there was one-third of the angels when Lucifer, Satan, rebelled against God and fell out of heaven and turned into the devil. Do you know a third of the angels went with him? Verse number 6 talks about that, and it says, they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. God will judge them. And then he refers to Sodom and Gomorrah, which is referring to Genesis 19. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Guys, he gives three examples of people that have turned away and done wicked things. And what happened with each group of them? They got punished, right? The people that didn't believe God, that came out of Egypt, they were destroyed. The angels that rebelled with Lucifer, they're held in everlasting chains to be judged one day. They're going to be destroyed. And then in verse 7, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the wicked city that was going on, wicked cities that were going on there and the activity that they had. This is where homosexuality comes from, guys. Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what God did? He blew up the place. He blew up the place. Listen. And it says they were giving themselves over to fornication. A couple weeks ago when Jeff preached in here, he talked about fornication means any type of sexual sin. They were definitely giving themselves over to a type of sexual sin. And it says, going after strange flesh. You know what that means, guys? Unnatural. They were going after the same gender. Stuff we're dealing with right now. Right? Right now. What did God do? And by the way, all sins are not the same. Listen, some sins God calls an abomination. That means it's disgusting to him. And homosexuality is one of them. Now, that doesn't mean that our sin is okay. Doesn't mean that certain sins are okay and others are bad. They're all bad. But God does have degrees and says, this is really bad. And you know why God judged it in the way that he did? At the end of the verse, he says, it set them forth for an example. God highlighted them and said, you see what I did here? You see what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah? I blew it up. I did that for a reason. Why? Because what they did was vile, was wicked, was way off the path. And I wanted to warn people all the time and highlight this and say, hey, don't follow their wicked example. And guys, I know what month it is. June, right? Pride month. It ought to be called shame month. Listen, it makes me sick. We go in this place and that place and they have the colors and they have some display up there. Listen, guys, don't fall for it. Can I say, we got all these slogans out here, love is love, and all this. You know what? Perversion is not love. Right. By the way, guys, we don't hate those people. And I don't wish all those people to die and burn in hell right away. I don't. But you know what? Their sin is wicked. And I do hate their sin. And more important to me, God hates their sin. But Jesus died for every single one of them. And he died for every single one of us, too. We need to get the gospel to them, but we cannot budge on it and start acting like this is okay and the world's catching on. It makes me mad. I go in a store and it's everywhere, thrown in your face. It's not good stuff, guys. Don't give into it. Now, again, we don't hate them, but we hate their sin. It's not right. Okay, we need to stand strong in that. All right, enough of that. Verse number 16. these false teachers. They are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is how the false teachers work. They get up and they speak with great swelling words, and they can sway the emotions, and they can have people admire them because they think that that person knows so much when really they don't know anything. But you know what they do? They're murmurers and complainers behind the scenes. They tear down the leadership. They try to break apart the foundation of what we believe. And it's very subtle, guys, and they're used by the devil. That's how these false teachers work. Hey, guys, but we get into the fact where we start thinking, you know what, Brother Tom? We talked about last week, if we depart from God, that it's wicked. And I get that. But, you know, it's hard to live for God. I don't know if all of you have realized that in this class, but if you're trying to live for God, you're going to realize it one of these days. Okay? It's hard. And some of you may think, man, I'm young. Brother Tom, I'm 15, 16, and you want me to be faithful to this the rest of my life? I mean, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I could live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. That's a long time. How am I ever going to make it through all that time frame, Zach? That seems almost impossible. And then we talk about all this stuff. Guys, is the world getting better? It's getting worse, right?
Yeah.
We talk about all this crazy Pride Month stuff. It seems like every year I see more and more of it. More companies join and more people are out there displaying this stuff. And it's getting worse and more vile and more wicked. And it seems like every year it's getting worse. And we think, guys, how can I endure this? Man, how can I do it? Maybe I'm doing okay right now in my life, but how in the world am I ever going to do this? And you're saying it's not going to go uphill. It's going to go downhill. It's going to get harder. How am I going to do that? Hey guys, we got good news today, because you don't have to keep it up to you. It doesn't have to be up to you to get you through. I want you to look at verse number 24. We do live in a day where many people are departing from the faith. We do live in a day when many people quit on God and they wickedly depart from their God. We do live in a day where wickedness is celebrated. It's lifted up. It's honored. And it seems really hard for us. So how in the world are we going to make it? Verse number 24. I like this. This is encouraging, guys. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Guys, that's the answer right there. That's the answer right there. You know what? In and of your own strength, you're not going to make it. In and of my own strength, I'm not going to make it. Yes, the world is going to be too hard for me. I'm not going to know how to work my way through all the obstacles and through all the ups and downs and through all the challenges that I'm going to face. I don't know how to do it. And I don't know how much longer my life will last, but hopefully I have many, many years in front of me. And sometimes that can be a daunting task. And we think, man, how can I make it another 30 years, 40 years? It's hard enough to make it through one day. How am I going to do this? Hey guys, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. Verse number 24 says, now unto him, talking about Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling. Guys, you don't have to fall. I don't care if you go to a public school where everybody's going against God. You don't have to fall. I don't care if your neighborhood, everybody is drinking and smoking and in drugs and in the bad music and in lust and all this kind of stuff. Listen, you don't have to fall, by the way. You should get away from those influences the best you can. But you don't have to fall. And I like it because this is what the Lord's saying about it. He's saying, I can take you all the way. All the way. Listen, that's what I want to preach about for a few minutes, guys. All the way. He can take you all the way. In your life, I don't know how much longer you have to live, but he can take you all the way. And he can keep you faultless and spotless. And he can keep you from falling. Don't buy into this mindset. Well, one of these days I'm going to fall. One of these days is getting so hard for Christians nowadays. More persecution, more government locking down churches and penalizing churches and giving them tickets and all this kind of stuff. Filing lawsuits. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. But you know, it's not too hard for our God. And he can take you all the way. Listen, I don't know what it's going to be like for you guys next year in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family. There may be challenges for all of us. We don't know. But you know what? We don't have to leave it up to our circumstances, guys, of whether we make it for God or whether we don't make it. You say, Brother Tom, how can I make it? You can do it through him. He can give you the power and he can take you all the way. You just got to trust in him. Point number one, all the way. is the message. Point number one is this, the concentration on a person. First three words of verse number 24, he says this, now unto him. Hey guys, you know our problem? You know why we get discouraged? Because we're thinking about everybody else in this world except Jesus. We don't keep our focus on him. Listen, he'll keep you encouraged. He'll keep you going. He'll keep you enduring. He'll give you that stamina. He'll give you that stick-to-itiveness to stay in there and to persevere for God. But you know what, Zach? We're worried about, man, my friend quit, or this guy's getting shaky, or this guy says it's not worth it anymore, or this guy stopped soul winning, or this guy stopped reading his Bible. Man, I'm so discouraged. I don't feel like I can make it anymore. Listen, your strength doesn't come from him or her or them or they. Your strength doesn't come from you. Your strength comes from God. And you got to be looking up, guys, to keep yourself going. That's the problem nowadays. Jude says, all right, I like how he says it, guys. He says, now unto him. What has he been talking about the whole thing in this book? He's talking about false teachers. He's talking about the dangerous doctrine they're trying to bring in, and they're trying to creep in and subvert people and subtly lead people astray. And guys, that's happening all around us. And people might think, man, how am I going to make it? He says, whoa. Don't get so caught up on that and so stuck on that that you forget who you're serving and you forget the one that gives you the power to keep on going. He says, now unto him, it's redirected focus. Hey guys, no, this him that is referred to is not some false god. This him that is referred to is not just some religious guru. This him that's referred to is not the Pope. It's not some leader of some false religion. It's no mere human. It's not talking about the president. It's not talking about some celebrity. It's not talking about some athlete. It's not talking about LeBron. It's not talking about MJ. It's not talking about some widespread a famous person in the world, some actor, some actress. That's not the him that's referred to. It's not some celebrity or some ruler of some country or some nation. It's our God he's referring to. It's Jesus Christ that died for you, that rose again, that has all power, that's coming again one day. That's who is referred to. Can I tell you and ask you in your Christian life, is that who you're focused on? Listen, we're looking forward to conference, man. I think it's going to be great. We're kind of getting things somewhat back to normal. Man, I'm all for it. It's going to be awesome. But can I tell you, don't get your mind on Brother Kenny. Don't get your mind on the activities. Don't get your mind just on the 4 days, the services, and the fun, and the excitement that we're going to have. You know what we need during youth conference? Not people that get excited just for the decorations and the t-shirts and the food and the fun and the friends that we're going to hang out with and all the activities we're going to do. We need people to get locked into the Lord and say, even when the conference is over, I'm still going to meet with God every day because he's my strength. He's my joy. He's my hope. He's the one that keeps me going. He's the one that keeps me encouraged. When everybody else quits, he keeps me strong, and he will keep me pressing on into the future. That's what we want, guys. That's what we want. Don't get it mistaken. Listen, that's what we need more in our teen boys and our young men in this church. Don't just ride the wave with everyone else, and they're excited about God, so I am. And then they quit on God, I guess I will too. Forget all that. They're not your standard. He is your standard. The redirected focus. And then he says you need to rely on him. He doesn't just bring up Jesus so that we can have some nice, warm, fuzzy thoughts about Jesus. He wants us to rely on him. To rely on him. In the book of John, it says this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Hey guys, you're not going to make it through a public school without Jesus. You're not going to make it through a Christian school without Jesus. You're not going to make it through a rough home situation without Jesus. You're not going to make it through the ups and downs of life without Jesus. You're not going to make it through your adulthood without Jesus. You got to have him. Hey guys, are you abiding in him? You know what abide means? It means to stay close. You look at those big trees out there and you see that trunk, that main part of the tree. Jesus says, I am the vine. I'm the main part, but you're the branches. You got to stay connected to me. And by the way, if you're saved, you always will be connected, but you got to make sure those blessings are flowing in your life. How do you do that? By staying close. By staying close to the Lord. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Back in the Old Testament, it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You say, cross my name off the list, Brother Tom, because my heart is not perfect. I've sinned. I've thought bad things. I've said bad things. I've messed up. That's not what it's talking about, guys. It doesn't mean that you have to be sinlessly perfect in your life, because if that were the case, all of us would be crossed off the list. But what it's referring to is you have a heart that's completely yielded to Him. Hey guys, when you do sin, do you go to God and say, God, I messed up. God, I said something I should have. God, I looked at something I should have. God, I'm sorry. That's what we're talking about. A heart that's completely yielded to Him. By the way, when God presses on your heart about something, do you yield to Him or do you say, no, no, I don't want to do it? You can't have a heart that's completely yielded to God and then fight God every chance that you get. We need to rely on Him. He's saying the concentration on a person. Listen, guys, you want to make it all the way? You want to be faithful? We're going to honor some of our heroes during youth conference, and Brother Chuck and Brother Tripp and Brother Bob and these great men and women that we've had at our church. But you know what? They made it all the way throughout their life. You want to follow their example? Concentrate on Jesus. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep your perspective on Him. You got to keep your eyes focused on Him. Hey guys, if your best friend quits, are you going to keep going? Think about this stuff. I want you to pay attention today. God forbid, but if someone in your family stopped doing right, would that throw you off the path too? God help us. Listen, you should live the Christian life because you love Jesus for yourself. The concentration on a person. Point number two, the capable power. Verse number 24, he says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Guys, I love this verse. Hey, when you start getting discouraged, George or DeMichael or anyone in the room, any one of us, when you start getting discouraged and it feels like it's not worth it anymore, would you please do me a favor and memorize this verse? Keep it in your mind. When you're at home and it seems like, man, nobody cares. Nobody wants to do right. All my friends that I thought were going to do right, they don't care anymore. It's hard. Hey, guys, you don't do it because of your friends. You do it because He's keeping you going. He's able to keep you from falling. The capable power. I love that it says He is able. And you know, Zach, that pops up many times in the Bible. And that's true. We know, listen, guys, we know this, but our God has all power, right? He's omnipotent. He created the world, right? In 6 days, He created everything that we see, bam, by His spoken word. He has all power. We can't even fathom it. We can't even comprehend all the power that God has. That same power raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days. We know His power is amazing. Beyond what we can even understand. It's an unstoppable force. He is able. And all throughout the Bible, if you look up He is able, it pops up different things. He's able to save. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that any person that walks through this class door and listens to the preaching of the Word of God, if they trust in Jesus Christ, He can save them. The Bible says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Guaranteed acceptance. Listen, if someone comes in there and they look all sharp and they look all prim and proper, but they're a sinner on their way to hell, they can be saved. If someone's looking rough, looks like they haven't showered in weeks, they stink, they smell, it's rough, their situation, and we think, man, what happened with this guy? Can I tell you, God can save that same person just like He did the clean-cut person. He can save anybody. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him, Hebrews says. It also talks about He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him. Listen, guys, when you serve God, when you give out tracts, when you pray, when you read, when you live right, do you know you're stacking it up? You're depositing it in the bank of heaven? And the Bible says God is able to keep that stuff till the day of redemption, till when you meet Him in the air. Listen, He's going to keep that. Hey, guys, are you serving God and stacking those things up in heaven? He's able to save. He's able to keep those. And the Bible talks about He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think. God can blow us away and do things we never even thought were possible. But can I tell you in this verse, it doesn't just stop with He is able. He is able is a great truth, guys. But it doesn't say, now unto Him that is able, period. It's not where that verse finishes. I don't know if you realize. It says, now unto Him that is able. Not only is it an unstoppable force, but it's got a unique focus. I love this, guys. I'm thankful for this in the Word of God. Because you know what, George? All that power that we know God has, all that power that said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. Let there be grass, bam, there's grass. Let there be a planet, bam, there it is. Let there be the sun and the moon and the stars, bam, and there it is. That same power that brought Jesus up from the dead, that same power, He says He is able to keep you from falling. I love that.
Zach, that all that unstoppable force that God has, there's a unique focus. And he says, you know what, Nathan? I'm going to give all that power to you so that you don't have to fall and you don't have to quit serving me. Is that exciting or what, guys? I'm all about this. I'm reading this and studying this last night, and I'm saying, man, why should we be discouraged? Why should we quit? Why should we say it's not worth it anymore when this verse is still in the Bible and he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Put your name in there.
Well, don't cross out the word in the Bible. Put it next to it, all right?
Listen, but you can put your name in there and say, listen, when I feel like I can't go on anymore, God is able to keep me from falling. When all my friends fall, I don't have to fall. When they all quit, I don't have to quit. When they all give up, I don't have to give up. Guys, that should be encouraging to you. I don't know what you go through. I'm not sure what every detail of your life entails. Listen, I don't understand it all. But can I tell you, this verse is true for every single person in the room right now. That huge power, he's able, but it's focused on you. And he says, I'm able to keep you from falling. The Bible talks about we are kept by the power of God. And I don't think this is just talking about, Tim, that he'll keep us saved all the way until we get to heaven. We know that from other passages of the Bible. What does he say? He's able to keep you from what? What does the verse say? He's able to keep you from what?
Falling.
You know what? That's talking about this life. DeMichael, that's talking about the struggles and the challenges of this life, the difficulties we face here. He's able to keep you from falling.
Hey, guys, I cannot promise you here in the middle of June of 2021 that you will never have problems and difficulties in your life. But I can promise you, according to God's word, that God has enough power through every struggle, through every difficulty, through every challenge, that he can get you through that if you keep trusting him. That's what I'm telling you today. I hope you comprehend what I'm talking about. Because this ain't me making it up. This is the word of God saying he's able to keep you from falling. Now, we can't hang around sin all the time, listen to junky music, hang around every cheap girl that we can get around, have the worst friends, and do all these kind of things, and then say, I don't know why I fell. Well, I wonder why. Duh, right? God's given us a brain and he's given us a Bible, and he's told us to stay away from certain things. So guys, if you hang around sin, you will fall. The Bible talks about a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So this verse is not an excuse for you to live however you want and then say, God, I don't know what happened. God says, no, I'm able to keep you from falling, but you got to do your part too. Okay? Hope you understand that. The capable power, the unstoppable force, the unique focus, all that power, all that force, all that energy is directed toward you to help you through the low moments of your life, to help you through your struggles. And guys, it makes it unreasonable to fall. He's saying he's able to keep you from falling. So why are people falling? Because they're not trusting in him. Listen, if you trust in him and rely on him, you will go through some very difficult times. Ask Job in the Bible, right? But God will give you the strength to keep on going. So you don't need to fall. Hey guys, everyone that's quit on God, everyone that's quit on God, you fill in the blank. All the ones that you've ever heard of, the big name preachers and the people that we know personally, all of them. You know what? They didn't have to quit on God. They chose to. Now, we talked about last week, some of them made excuses, man, it's gotten really hard, I'm down and I'm struggling, there's a lot of pressure. And maybe some of those things were factual. Hey, we get that. But you know what? God has enough power to keep you from falling. You don't have to quit on him. You don't have to throw in the towel and say, oh, my relationship with Jesus, it was nice while it lasted. No, guys, he's got enough power to keep you from falling. Hey, when you're at the end of your rope and you think you can't take another day, get this verse locked in your mind and say, no, I'm not. It's DeMichael, my strength is not the determiner of whether I make it or not. It's his strength. You understand, guys? The capable power. Point number three, the condition of presentation. The condition of presentation. I love this. This verse gets better and better. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The condition of the presentation. Guys, the first part of the verse, it talks about Jesus, right? And that he's able to keep you from falling. What is that referring to? That's referring to here and now, right? That's referring to your earthly life. But you know when it says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, that's not talking about your earthly life. When is that talking about?
Heaven.
Yeah, when you're in heaven. Guys, this is the finish line. That's when we finally make it to heaven. That's when we finally arrived and we're there and we're saying, wow, this is amazing. Nathan, yes, we made it. All right. We've reached the finish line, guys. But can I tell you, this final presentation, we're a finished product at that point. It says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. This is the picture. It says that Jesus is presenting us to God the Father, and we are a finished product. You know what that means? No more sin. No more struggles. No more temptations. No more shortcomings. No more flaws and failures that we have in our own life. No more bad thoughts. No more pride. No more lust. Guys, all that is done away with. When we stand before the Lord in that day, it says we will be faultless. You know what that means? Sinless. Blameless. Listen, it didn't mean that we lived a perfect life, but you know what it means? That because he cleansed us and washed us in his blood, when we get to heaven, Zach, all that sin is gone. Never to be remembered again. Guys, you talk about exciting. He's able to keep you from falling right now. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. He's able to keep you from falling. I don't care what school you go to. You say it's really hard. He's able to keep you from falling. I don't care what other people have done around you. He's able to keep you from falling. But he's also able to get you to the finish line. He's able to keep you and take you all the way to when you meet him face to face one day in heaven. Present you faultless before his glory. The final presentation, the finished product, you'll be a faultless person without sin, without failure, without any blemish in you. And guys, the fantastic presence. It says to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. You know, I said that it's Jesus presenting us to God the Father, and I think that's true. But Zach, if we're true to the verse, it's also saying that he's presenting us before his own glory. That's Jesus' glory. I mean, guys, when we finally meet him, and by the way, a sinful man cannot stand before the glory of God. You know what would happen? You remember back with Moses? He said, let me see your glory. He said, you can't see my glory. If you see my glory, what would happen? The full impact of my glory. What would happen? You would die. You'd be gone. Moses, you would see it and then explode. Be no more Moses. They're like, what happened to him? They thought he disappeared when he went up on the mountain for 40 days. He'd never come back. He's gone. No more Moses. All right? He says, you can't take the full impact of my glory. God says, I'll just give you a little snippet, a little bit of the afterglow. You don't even see me. You'll just see a bit of the afterglow following me. That's all you can take, Moses. And just by that, guys, what happened? His face lit up. That was so much for him to take in. He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't handle it. His face lit up like a light bulb. And he comes back down off the mountain and starts talking to people. And they say, man, put something over that. That's freaking us out. Guys, it wasn't because he used too much proactive that morning that his face lit up. It's because he met with God. He saw some of the glory of God, just an inkling of it. Hey guys, that day we'll be able to take the full impact of Christ's glory. We won't have to cover it. We won't have to shield it. We don't have to put on our sunglasses to block the UV rays. Listen guys, we will be there in all the glory of God, and it'll be shining and radiant, and we will be there in his presence. Why? Because we're his children. That's why. The condition of presentation. Hey, you get discouraged, think about one day. Man, if we can just continue on and keep trusting in God's grace and keep holding on and say, God, I'm weak, but I know you're strong. Help me through this day and help me through this challenge and help me through this hard time and help me through this relationship. Hey, guys, one day we're going to be at the finish line and he's going to present us faultless saying, God the Father, here is my child. He is perfect. He is sinless, not because of his own works, but because of my precious blood that washed away all his sins. Point number four, we're almost done. The celebration that's prominent. Remember I said the verse keeps getting better, right? All right. The concentration on the person, now unto him. The capable power, he's able to keep you from falling. The condition of presentation. When he presents us, guys, when he presents us to his Father at the end, he's not going to have to, you know, dust us off before he presents us. Hold on. We're not quite ready. Okay, we're not going to be shabby, we're not going to be slack, we're not going to be broke down, we're not going to be struggling, we're not going to be sinning there, guys. All that will be gone because of his working in us. will be a finished product. The Bible talks about we can be confident that he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God's continually working on you, and he's going to do that all the way until he comes back, and then you'll be a finished product. So God is trying to develop you. Point number four, the celebration that's prominent. So he's going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. What's the last three words of verse 24? Somebody tell me. Last three words of verse 24.
With exceeding joy.
With exceeding joy. Hey guys, that will be what's going on there. We think fear. We think sheer terror. We think, man, this is going to be scary. No, can I tell you, that day, guys, it's going to be filled with exceeding joy. Exceeding means surpassing. It means going beyond. It means abundant joy. Listen, that day, there's going to be a day of celebration, guys. It'll be like none other we've ever faced before. Listen, I'm not trying to down the things we do here on earth, but many times you ever go to a party and all you do, a godly party, guys. Don't get the wrong kind of mindset, all right? Some of you guys are like, yeah, I love that. No, wrong one, all right? Wrong one. You need to be sanctified. You have not been presented faultless before his glory yet. You got some work to do, all right? But you ever go to a party and basically, I'm not trying to down it. Like, it's nice. The people get together, you talk and all this, but it's kind of boring, right? You're just there and you have your little cup with your soda and you're, so how's everything? Fine, how's everything for you? And you're just like, what is this, right? Can I tell you that's not what's going to be going on in heaven that day? That's not what it's going to be going on. We're not going to be up there with our sanctified cup saying, so Zach, you made it. Congratulations. I mean, dude, we're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be having a great time. Listen, it says with exceeding joy. Can I tell you that, again, that word exceeding, it means surpassing. It goes beyond. Listen, any of the greatest fun and excitement and exhilaration you've ever felt, the thrills and chills on this earth, guys, it's going to far supersede that. It's going to far surpass that. That stuff will look like nothing in comparison to what we're going to face that day. It's exceeding. There's going to be exuberance. Listen, you say, who's going to be rejoicing? Who's going to be joyous? Can I tell you, I think God's going to be one of them. The Bible talks about that Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, Romans 12:2, endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, he's going to be rejoicing. He's going to be happy in that day. And the Bible talks about we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can't even describe it. It's so amazing and so beyond what we can even comprehend. And you know what heaven is described as, guys, in Matthew 25? The joy of the Lord. It doesn't say the drudgery of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the hardship of the Lord. No, it's called the joy of the Lord. Hey, guys, listen. We face some hard times in this life. But keep serving God. Listen, if you're trying to serve God, you stay at it. Don't quit. You've got all the power you need right there attainable for you. His name is Jesus. He'll help you. He'll give you the grace. He'll keep you going. He's going to present you faultless one day. That's what he's trying to do with every single one of us one day. And when that happens, guys, it's going to be exceeding joy. No more lessons to learn. No more changes to make. No more improvements to work on. Listen, it'll all be a finished product. And in that day, there'll be a celebration that will be prominent. We talked about God will be rejoicing. We will be rejoicing. Luke 15 talks about there's joy in the presence of the angels. And all of heaven is described as the joy of the Lord. What a place that's going to be, guys. What a day that's going to be. Point number five, and I'll be done. The culminating praise. Verse number 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude is dealing with this, and he says, our God is able to take us all the way. Listen, it's him that we need to focus on. It's him that we need to worry about. It's him that we need to stay concentrated on. And he's got all the power we need. He's going to present us faultless with exceeding joy. And then I think this has been building and building and building, Tim, and then he just blows into a huge praise of God in verse 25, saying, to the only wise God, our Savior. You know what he's saying? Nobody could do that except God. No one can do that except God. The culminating praise. He's saying it's displayed that he's the only God that can do this, that he is the only Savior that can do this. It's displayed, and he's the only wise God. He's the one that has this wisdom to get us through the challenges of life. He's the one that has this strength to get us through the ups and downs that we face. To the only wise God, our Savior, it's displayed that he's the only one that can do this. He's divine, his deity, that he is God, and he's also our Savior. Listen, guys, we talk about Jesus as our Savior, right? So this verse says he's our Savior and God. That shows that Jesus is God, okay? His deity, and that he's delivered us from sin. And guys, he deserves our all. It says to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power. It's saying, Lord, it's all yours. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the majesty, all the dominion, all the power. It's all yours. You deserve it all. Hey, guys, it's all because of him. And the duration is, at the end of the verse, it says both now and forever. So, Michael, this isn't going to go on for 15 minutes and we're saying, yes, praise God, this is wonderful, Lord, it's all because of you. And then, phew, man, I'm tired. Whew, next group, your turn. No, guys, this says both now and forever. Listen, and then the last word of the verse says, amen. You know what amen says? So be it. Let it happen. And listen, guys, I think Jude's kind of sticking his own seal of approval on this, saying, yeah, count me in there too. I'm dedicating myself to this too, because I'm going to be up there one day too. Hey, guys, when we make it to heaven one day and we're faultless, we're blameless, we have no sin on us anymore, we're a finished product, and we lived a faithful life that didn't fall away from God, and we stayed faithful all throughout our lives, you know what? It won't be for our glory. It'll all be for the glory of the only wise God, our Savior. To him belongs all the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. It'll go on forever. His praise will go on forever and forever and forever and forever. You say, that's a long time. Yeah, he's worthy of all of it. And amen. Jude says, yeah, stick me in there too. Count me as one of them too. And guys, we should say, yeah, count me as one of them too. Because for us to make it through this life without falling, that's not because of us. For us to be able to stand before the presence of God and his holiness and his glory and his righteousness without exploding, that's all because of God. That's not because of me. And for me to make it there sinless and blameless and finally reach my finish line victorious for the Lord, that wasn't because of me. That wasn't because I was smarter, I was courageous, or I was tougher than most of them. No, no, no. It had nothing to do with me. Had everything to do with my God. He is deserving of all the praise. That's why this passage culminates in praise, guys. Listen, in your life, have you bought into the lie that you're going to fall at some point, so it might as well be soon? Have you bought into the lie that, man, no one makes it? It's very rare for anyone to make it in their life and serve God faithfully. Hey, guys, don't buy into that lie. Listen, the world will tell you you can't make it. You know what? There's an element of truth to that. I can't make it in and of myself, but I can through his strength. See, it says he's able to keep you from falling. The God that has all power that made the world says, I'll focus that power on you and help you through your struggles and through your difficulties. Guys, our God, Jesus Christ, is able to take you all the way. I got a question for you, though. We don't have to worry about him quitting, choking, falling apart in the fourth quarter when things get tough, when it's crunch time. We don't have to worry about that. We know he'll never leave us or forsake us. But are you going to quit on him? Are you going to stay faithful to him? Because you know what? If you stay faithful to him, he will always stay faithful to you. He will keep you from falling. And guys, he's able to take you all the way. That's what we need. We need some teenagers that will take it all the way with God. And not just live for God through this segment of time in your life, but all throughout your life. That's what it's all about. There's no more powerful testimony than that. He's able, guys, to take you all the way. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today.